KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at Robots Attack Me, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Central talk show here on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. I am Joe, and with me, of course, is...
Caleb.
And we are here to give you tons and tons of geek news, entertainment, and enjoyment.
Yes, it's a geek festival type thing here. It's good.
Oh, yeah. So for the next 2 hours, just sit back, relax, whatever you're doing, and listen to us... give you information for your brain.
We will fill your mind with the knowledge that is geek, and it will be good.
You will love it. Speaking of things that you will love, we like to start off this geek-centric talk show by talking about new releases.
Indeed, indeed.
And I'm going to talk about a few that are coming out in the theater.
The theatre, if you prefer.
Yeah. not the Broadway type of theater, but... Mm-hmm. The one that shows film and the moving pictures and...
Oh, the movies. Oh, the talkies.
Yeah, the talkies. Yeah, that's it. See, now, normally, where I save my new release information, for some reason, I didn't save it. So I'm kind of winging it right now, but...
You can do it. I believe in you.
Thank you. I think I can. All right. So coming out this Friday, we've got Pompeii. I believe it's in 3D. I think that's one of the big things about it.
It's an IMAX 3D, yeah.
Yeah, it's got...
It's a disaster movie. It should be pretty good in IMAX 3D.
Yeah, it's got the guy who plays Jon Snow from Game of Thrones, and Keith Sutherland is in it.
There you go.
Yeah, I was a little shocked when I saw the trailer, and it's like, was that Keith Sutherland? But okay. I wasn't really... expecting it, but hey, what do you know? If that doesn't float your boat, I believe there is a Kevin Costner movie called 3 Days to Kill.
Yes, 3 Days to Kill.
That's coming out. If you're more into a spy thriller-ish type of thing, maybe you'll like that.
Or Kevin Costner.
Or Kevin Costner, or both. And hopefully, Jason speaks a little louder into his mic, because last week's show... Hello, Jason, by the way.
He
was
here.
A little low, and I had to bump it in the editing. Right. So it's this weird thing with his voice. I don't quite understand it. It's like the mic doesn't like picking him up. Mics in general, it seems like.
Yeah, mics have trouble. I think it's the frequency range that your voice is in. It's like just that little bit off from a... dynamic microphone usually picks up.
I'm super stealthy. That's all it is.
Maybe if we got you a nice condenser, you'd be able to pick up.
What, like an air con?
No. The condenser microphone.
Oh, okay. Yes. That sounds fantastic.
And I'll wrap it up with, because those are pretty much the big ones, is one that is not a spy movie nor a disaster movie. It's sort of like a documentary kind of thing. It's... Elaine Stritch, Shoot Me. If you don't know who this lady is, I really didn't know, but I was like, wait, I recognize her. She's like 80-something years old, very famous, like Broadway actor.
Oh, okay.
If you watch 30 Rock, she's Alec Baldwin's mother on 30 Rock.
Oh, okay.
So
there you go.
So, yeah. There's a little sample of some movies in the theater.
Well, if... Keeping with the moving picture themology here, I am going to bring you a sampling of the Blu-rays and DVDs that are coming out. How about Battle of the Damned on Blu-ray and DVD? A military lockdown is quarantines a city, keeping its viral outbreak from spreading. But a rich industrialist's daughter is still inside. He turns to a former commando to do the rescue mission. Beyond the military blockade are cords of the reanimated dead and robot sentries.
Whoa, robots and zombies?
Robots and zombies. If that's not quite your speed, how about Dracula Reborn on DVD? Jonathan is a picture of success, great job, loving wife, a bun in the oven, and but his idyllic world is turned upside down when a vampire takes his wife. Now he must join forces with a vampire hunter to storm the gates of hell to save the woman he loves. Or perhaps you would like Fists of Legend on Blu-ray and DVD. A fighting reality show is looking for a way to boost ratings, so they turn to legends, fighters who were once great and are hungry for another round in the ring. This brings three friends slash rivals back for one more shot at glory. It's a Korean language film which features a mix of mixed martial arts and street fights. Okay. Then there's Hellbenders on Blu-ray and DVD. When a demon is too strong to simply be exorcised, the only solution is for the exorcist to take the demon into themselves and personally drag that demon to the gate to Hell's Gate.
Whoa.
This takes a special priest, one of the Augustine Interfaith Order of Hellbound Saints, or Hellbenders. These priests live lives of debauchery, so they're ready to go when called. And their special gifts will be tested when they are called in to take out the Black Suter, a Norse demon. Or perhaps you're just looking for something a little bit more contemplative. How about Watchtower on DVD? It's a Turkish language film about a man who becomes a fire warden in a remote area to escape his past, and a woman who works as a bus hostess in a remote area also to keep her personal demons at bay. Their fates collide and entwine, and despite the comfort of their relationship, the silence of their past holds them apart. This all serves as a crucible for their love and for their spirits.
For your love.
Mm-hmm.
And spirits.
Yes. And that rounds out the DVDs and Blu-rays.
All right. Well, before I tell you about video games, Jason's going to tell you about this.
What is it?
The Museum of American Heritage presents Television, A History, an exhibit displaying a variety of unique 1940s and 1950s era television sets from the museum's collection. The exhibit explores everything from how a television works to its social impacts. The exhibition opens September 27th and runs until March 23rd, and regular exhibit hours are 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, unless otherwise noted. The museum is located at 351 Homer Avenue in Palo Alto, and admission is free.
All right. Moving on to video games. We've got a decent amount this week. Mm. I'll start us off with probably everyone's favorite, NASCAR 2014.
Whoa! Turn left.
For the 360 and the PS3, not on any of the next gen consoles.
It's probably been in development for a little bit too long for that, unfortunately. Yeah.
I think there was a statement too about they didn't believe the audience was big enough yet, so they didn't want to spend the time and the resources, you know, on it.
Understandable.
Then we have Earth Defense Force 2025 for the 360 and PS3. Then we have actually something for next gen as well as current gen, and the brand new Strider.
Yeah.
This is getting some pretty solid reviews. It's on Xbox One, PS4, 360, PS3, PC, like
it's everywhere.
Next gen PC.
Yeah.
next year's PC.
But yeah, it's getting some solid reviews. It looks like a cool kind of remake, sort of Metroidvania style type of game.
I remember the original when it was out. That was a fun game. But fun.
I know there was another one, again, because I didn't save all my information. I remember there was a PC game called Banished, and it was like you were a group on an island, I think, and you had some resources that you had to survive through, something like that. Then there's also dropping on the next-gen consoles. It already came out before, but Rayman Legends, another game that's gotten like really good reviews, really good platformer apparently. It's dropping on PS4 and Xbox One.
Nice.
I think,
nice.
You know, getting some graphical updates and some new kind of features and stuff like that. And
The Rayman series has always been really well received.
Yeah, I guess a lot of people love, there aren't a whole lot, but there's a few like music levels in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And they're basically like you're platforming to the beats of the music. And the one that I typically hear a lot of people talk about is the Black Betty song.
Okay.
Or Lamb Jam, I think, or something. Yeah. And it's like a Rayman Legends version of that song. So it's like the creatures and stuff from there like singing the song and playing the instruments and stuff. And like you're platforming to all the beats and stuff. And everyone's like loves all the music levels in it. Mm-hmm. So if that sounds up your alley, check it out. But
definitely. But
yeah, I'm sure there's more, but that's kind of the ones I remember off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. So,
darn your technology.
I know.
Alrighty, so from video games, we jump over to the land of comic books. And I'm changing up my pattern here a little bit. Pick one, what looks like one really good title from each to
changing
add to your,
it up.
Yes. From DC, it looks like Wonder Woman 28 should be interesting. The Firstborn has returned, and he wants Olympus to stop this rampage before it took the death of the God of War. And now that Diana has taken up that mantle, things are about to get interesting.
Kratos?
No, not Kratos. It's written by Brian Azzarello and has art by Cliff Chiang and Goran Suzuka. From Marvel side, there is Night of the Living Deadpool, number 3 of 4. So it's a miniseries. So you might be able to find the others at your shop. The most talkative assassin finds himself against the horrors of the undead. Oh, invisible thought balloons. Well, they're visible to Deadpool, at least. It's written by Colin Bunn with art by Ramon Rosanas. From Dark Horse, there's The White Suits, number 1 of 4. A group of assassins that terrorize the Cold War era Russian underworld have reemerged in contemporary New York, with mobsters in their sights.
Ooh.
As the death toll rises, the investigators are hounded by the question, who are the white suits? It's written by Frank J. Barbieri, I apologize if I got your name wrong, and Toby Cypress, who's the artist. Then there is Adventure Time number 25 from Kaboom and Boom Studios. A gem, a piece of history, a symbol of things loved, an object of devotion. Finn and Jake encounter such a thing. It's written by Ryan North with art by Shelley Paroline and Braden Lamb. And then from IDW is X-Files Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles crossover. It's called Conspiracy Number 1. The already complicated lives of the turtles take an unexpected turn when they are sought out by the lone gunman to help them save the world.
That makes sense, actually.
It is written by Ed Brisson, and the art is by Michael Walsh. And to round it out, there is a title from Image, Peter Panzerfaust, number 17. This one's called The Hunt. It's the second part of this story arc. Lily is honoring her father's memory one kill at a time.
Ooh.
It's one of the more interesting reimagined fairy tales, and it's critically acclaimed. It's in its fourth story arc, so they've been at this for a little while now. Mm-hmm. It's kind of in the same idea of like Fables and all them, but
okay.
I thought it was kind of I find this one a little bit more interesting because it's not just in modern times, it's actually a period piece modern times because it's during World War II.
Oh, okay.
So he's like Peter is like Peter Pan in the, if you're looking for the connection, is like fighting German tanks.
The peanut butter, just so people know.
Yeah. No, not the peanut butter. So there you go. There's some comics you might want to add to your pull list or hit the stores to find.
Nice. All right, I'm going to wrap it up with some music. I'll go quickly. They've got Planning to Rock, all one word, their new album, All Love's Legal. Then we have Suzanne Vega with, get a pen and paper to write this one down, it's a little long, Tales from the Realm of the Queen of Pentacles.
Okay.
Then we have Guided by Voices, their motivational jumpsuit. Then we have Pentogram with Voices, and we have Calm Truths. See what they did there? Swap the letters from Tom Cruise. But
gotcha.
The EP Wave 1. And I will round it out with Cheap. No, I did that one last week. I remember that. Lost in the Trees. Their album, Past Life. All right. That's going to do it for some new releases. We're going to take a music break and then come back with some awesomeness because we got a great show tonight.
In our core,
we're going to talk about the Titanfall beta. We had a chance to play it with probably a lot of people because they ended up opening it up to everyone. So if you had a chance to play it yourself, definitely stick around. We'd love to hear from you. And Caleb's going to tell you how you do that. But first, we're also going to talk about, it kind of fits really well because they finally released the first trailer for the Guardians of the Galaxy, which looks awesome.
Right. It looks pretty solid.
And Caleb, before they even did that, has been telling you all about the characters. So you want to stick around for that because he's going to talk about another character in Caleb's Corner tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been helping Marvel out even before Marvel started putting out little clips of introducing the characters. Like, we were already doing that, man. You should contact us, Marvel. Talk to us.
They were struggling with
us. We got your back.
Yeah, we got your back. And Caleb's on it, man. He's on it. You gotta hire that guy. and also, they're not in the studio yet, so I can say this. We're going to be training some people. That's pretty scary, huh?
Right.
Hopefully, we'll do our best to help these guys. They've had a hard time trying to find someone to train them. We're going to do our best to try to help them to get their own show. They're going to be in here. We're going to have them read some PSAs and kind of slowly introduce them to the world of KSU radio. So, all right, let's get to that music break. But how can they participate on the show, Caleb?
That's right. If you want to contact us, get involved with the show right now, you go to Robots. You do a Facebook. Do a search for Robots Attack, two words. Or you can find us on Twitter. We are Robots Attack Me, all one word. There's also Ye Olde Email at Robots, which is robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And if you're just like, wait, too much, just remember robotsattack.me. That is everything that we do shows up there, and the contact button, the interact button, will take you to a site that lists everything that you can use to contact us with.
All right, nice and easy. You can all do that. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get to the music. The first track I'm going to play is a new track from the Dum Dum Girls. So stick around. We'll be right back after this with some news here on Robots Attack on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Radio stream. Want to listen to KSU even when you're not near a radio? Stream us whenever you want at ksu.org or on the TuneIn radio app or website, and never be without the underground sound.
News.
All right, welcome back to Robots Attack, one and only Geek Central talk show here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound. We are in the news. Caleb is going to give you your first story.
That's right. A while back, I mentioned that the FCC had their teeth had been taken away from by the courts, saying that the way they written the net neutrality rules was not correct, or was not going to stand up in court, which is very, very unfortunate. But the in a recent statement from the FCC, they are saying that it's actually not nearly as bad as that. It's not so dire. Net neutrality isn't dead. The chairman is planning to do is come back and rewrite the rules so that they are more applicable and they are better enforced by the better enforceable by their organization. So that's good. It's nice to know that they still see net neutrality as an important thing. They are still looking at the internet as a resource for all of us that is best used when it is open and not being overly regulated by the corporations themselves. Not that the corporations can't have some control, but absolute monarchy by the corporations is not so hot. So I think that's kind of awesome that they're planning on doing, that they're still working on how to better do neutrality with government oversight. And they're expecting the rules to be completed in spring or summer. So there you go. Okay. So hopefully this year we'll have more good news about net neutrality.
All right. We go from the FCC flexing its muscles to the future of us flexing ours, maybe.
Flex your muscles. Do some reps of muscle flexes.
Something quite like that. People have been trying to figure out how to make a really strong, dependable version of muscles for a long time. The synthetic muscles that we've created, they end up having flaws in all sorts of different areas where they'll shine in a lot of other ways. Well, some people at University of Texas, Dallas ended up figuring out something pretty ingenious out of really basic materials that might change everything. They realized that if they just coil fishing line and make it so they heat it up or cool it down, it works like a muscle, but it's super, super strong.
So just regular old fishing line?
Pretty much.
This time, the answer was right in our garage.
Right. Leave it to University of Texas. It's a really simple idea, and it hopefully will change things to make us have cybernetic muscles and implants and all sorts of crazy things.
Well, like nothing really else soon. making our prosthetics respond more like regular, more like the original limb is a pretty amazing feat in and of itself.
Right. Yeah, the article that I'm posting right now, it actually has a short little chunk of video that shows really simply and easily how just heating it up will lift a simple weight fairly reliably. So check it out.
That was very cool.
I wonder if it was someone that's like going fishing was like, wait a minute. Or it was in their garage, like you mentioned, looking at.
Maybe, but these guys are surrounded by a whole bunch of really normal, like, lab-type stuff. So.
Well, yeah, they bring it into the lab to test it, but I'm sure, like, I wonder where the inspiration came from. It's like,
I was hanging a clock in my bathroom.
Right.
I slipped, and I woke up.
All of the best inventions come from the toilet.
I woke up, and I found out that Jada Pinkett Smith is cast as Gotham's villain.
Oh?
Now, last week, spoke about that they cast Alfred and the young penguin in the Gotham series.
Yeah.
Well, they've cast another villain, this time being played by Jada Pinkett Smith.
A little bit more star power this time.
Yeah. This story I snagged from IGN, casting is ramping up on a forthcoming TV series, Gotham, with the show finding one of its villains in the shape of Jada Pinkett Smith. According to Deadline, Smith will play Fish Mooney, an imposing, hot-headed, and notoriously sadistic gangster boss and nightclub owner with street smarts and also extrasensory abilities to read people like an open book, who's not one to be crossed. This should be... I'm not really, like, super real familiar with this character, so it should be...
It sounds almost like it might be a combination of some old characters, but I'm not completely sure.
Yeah. But yeah, like you said, I mean, this show's like starting to get a little more star power, and it's nice to see some more female characters thrown in. I mean, she is playing a villain, but it is nice to see, since most superhero stuff a lot is
it's a lot of middle-aged white guys with big muscles.
Yeah, so. So there you go. A little more excitement for Gotham. It's building and building, that show.
Yeah, yeah. It's true. So we move from exciting news in the realm of science fiction to something a little bit closer to science fact. NASA is setting up a program to capture a asteroid. That's right. Their goal is to pull in a near-Earth asteroid and put it into a stable orbit around the moon.
Huh. So how are they going to do that? Like, well, that's grappling kinda, hooks, or
well, that's kind of what the article is about. Is they have this idea of opening essentially like a DARPA like challenge, or like one of DARPA's challenges, I should say, where they like, we have this kind of crazy idea, help us figure this out.
Okay,
because there's a lot of really smart people out there that just love the challenge of figuring out how to make things go.
Right,
and not that NASA can't do it themselves, but their funding is dwindling by the hour. So, you know, any hope? I'm sure
they're just win a million.
Yeah. I'm sure they're just, they'd welcome any kind of assistance in that. And also when you come from a different background, a different train of thought, sometimes you just think of solutions that another person just wouldn't have thought of because that wasn't
like
their
fishing line muscles.
Yeah, fishing line muscles. You don't necessarily think of that if you're used to working with servos and stuff like that. So, you know, I think it's really cool that they're doing that. And part of this has come from the interest that was renewed in near Earth asteroids and near Earth bodies with the explosion over Chelyabinsk, Russia, the asteroid that blew up over in the air that got all over the news with all the dashboard cams capturing it.
Okay.
Like that kind of reminds people that, oh yeah, occasionally things do get through the atmosphere that are potentially dangerous to Earth. So
yeah, that one was pretty scary looking.
Mm-hmm. So they're hoping that they can, you know, take advantage of the fact that they'll be near Earth to snag one and study it. But in the meantime, they're setting up a network of observation posts to try it, that using their existing systems, but like kind of networking them all together with a new, in a new pattern. So that
are
they
the observation posts terrestrial or are they
yes.
In, okay.
Yeah. Almost all of it's terrestrial, but since a lot of these are small, relatively speaking, they don't reflect a lot of light. So they're hard to spot with telescopes, but since they have a network of people and smaller observatories and stuff that kind of keep an eye out for some of these things, and then they feed that data back to some NASA servers that goes out and pings the bigger observatories where they can go and swing around their nice big telescopes to try and find the objects.
Okay.
So it's just kind of cool. Space science is awesome, I think.
Well, speaking of things that are cool.
Yeah.
The San Jose Animal Advocates. If you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have a limited time to volunteer, join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook.
Okay. We go from all of the stuff about asteroids and whatnot to diseases, because, I mean, that could be the end of the world for you,
no,
disease,
it's like,
right?
In the Andromeda strain, there's a microorganism that fell to Earth.
Thank you. Then I was looking
spoilers!
For a perfect... yeah. just ruined the entire first 20 seconds of that movie for somebody.
Forget it. Not watching it now.
But anyway, there's been some interesting research into gout, of all things. It's kind of an interesting disease, not just by how it works or anything like that, but by how it apparently ended up sort of evolving into affecting us. Uh-huh. Because apparently none of the species that are immediately below us have any of the problems with the storing of malic acid, I believe, mm-hmm. that causes gout. So people were wondering, and they ended up doing a little bit of reverse engineering on DNA itself to try and figure out what happened. And it turns out it's basically a bunch of crud in our DNA.
Huh.
What ended up causing that is most viruses end up having as an initial attack on our DNA, they actually change it slightly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we end up more resistant to stuff and how it's built into people being resistant to whatever pathogens are from like thousands of years ago and whatnot. But the side effect is that it ends up creating garbage in our DNA that ends up messing things up slowly and slowly and slowly. So the stuff that was there that ended up relieving us of gout in the past is basically all mucked up now. So they're basically trying to figure out how to reconstruct the protein from different mammals that are immediately below us in order to try and reintroduce it into our own DNA.
Okay.
This could be kind of scary. It could end up creating like crazy mutant hybrids or whatnot. But if it's done right, hey, then you can eat and drink as much as you want without being afraid of having your joints get all messed up. So
well, there you go.
Nice. I think that's a good point to take another music break on. Mm-hmm. We'll be back with more news here on Robots Attack on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. Stick around for more.
News.
All right, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. We're back for some more news. I have your next story.
Ooh.
This one, it's movie news.
Ooh.
Like from last time I told you a TV info, this one's now movies.
Uh-huh.
They've got the cast for the Fantastic Four reboot.
I thought I saw that float by.
And yeah, it looks like they're kind of going a really different route than the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They've,
in a good way or...
Yeah, it should be interesting. I mean, they've got, again, I snagged this story from IGN. According to both The Warp and Variety, long-rumored contenders Miles Teller, who's apparently in Divergent, and Kate Mara from House of Cards, and Michael B. Jordan from Chronicle and the Oakland Bart movie.
Oh, that was just here where he played. Fruitvale Station.
Yeah, Fruitvale Station. Officially been offered to play Mr. Fantastic, Invisible Woman, and Human Torch.
Huh.
Respectively, while Tintin and Nymphomaniac actor Jamie Bell is the studio's pick to play The Thing. So they're going like a much younger route.
Yeah, yeah.
Than the previous one.
Yeah, I was hearing some plot rumors about this. I was like, this is going to sound interesting because what little I heard was that it was going to be start out with Ben Grimm and Reed Richards as friends that end up with superpowers, and then they team up with Human Torch and Invisible Woman and then become the Fantastic Four. So it's like, that's a very different style of story than usual.
Yeah, it says the reboot's going to be based on the Ultimate Fantastic Four series.
Okay.
More, that's kind of what they're leaning towards. There's still a hunt on for the actor to play the villain, which prior reports claim to be Dr. Doom.
Mm.
So they haven't said who yet, or they're still looking, but it looks like they have the initial four pretty much cast, so...
That will be very interesting.
Yeah, they've been knocking it out with the other ones, so I'm sure they want to keep it going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be a little bit distracting if they made another bad Fantastic Four movie.
Yeah, I think they want to erase the memory of, forget about that other older Marvel series.
Yeah.
Keep thinking of the good ones.
The new stuff that we like.
Yeah.
All right, so from with the sci-fi angle of the Richards family, they invented a friend. Reed Richards made a friend number of robots, and that's going to bridge me into our robot story for this evening.
There we go.
This week it is about a bunch of robots that are which university made them. I'll get back to that in a sec. But they, their purpose...
University of Phoenix.
I don't think so.
Maybe.
ITT Tech?
No. No, this one's on a slightly better established university, which...
Santa Clara what? University?
Plug? No, Harvard, actually.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's close.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It is very well regarded. And they've made a group of robots they're calling Terms, T-E-R-M-E-S, and they are a group of small robots that are construction robots, and they're what makes them
they're
unique
weird.
In terms of the why and how of their function is that they don't need a blueprint of they don't need to be told how to make the building. They just need to be told what the structure. They just need to know what the final structure needs to look like.
Huh. Okay.
They then use computing the computer AI and also responding to each of the other robots and where they are and what they're doing. They will construct a structure, the structure that has been requested, using but doing it at in their own way, at their own pace, at their own time, sort of thing. It's like they modeled the logic of this on a termite colony.
Okay.
And the reason
I was wondering if that's where they were going with that.
Yes. They call this approach to building stigmergy. I think I pronounced that right. Anyway, it's this idea that they all know basically all the workers know basically what they're making, but Brad is over there constructing this thing. Brad the robot. Tommy the robot can be building his other piece, and like they'll all come together to make the thing. But if like Tommy needs something in Brad's location, but Brad's still there, he can just do other stuff. And then when Brad moves, he can the robot can go in and do
that
what
way.
He needs
there's no pressure on Tommy.
Yeah, there's no. Basically, it's just it makes the robots a little bit more autonomous. It makes the structures that they build more likely to be succeed because you're not trying to create the path as well as create the object. You just tell them, "I need this there," and they'll figure out how to make it work from there.
It seems like it would have to be a very specific type of structure. Are we talking about like concrete structures or?
They haven't figured out what the materials are going to be just yet. But okay. It's more about the experimenting with the logic and. Can they make it work? Where can a group of robots interact and build without necessarily being told, put this layer here, put that layer here, put that layer here like this. Make sure you make a ramp around the whole thing so that you can get up and down it. Mm. They'll do that kind of on their own.
Okay.
You just say like, I want a tower. I need a wall that goes from here to here. That's this high and this wide. They go, okay. Then they'll start building that.
It sounds like a good thing for dropping on whatever planet so you can terraform it or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the researchers was talking about even like undersea construction type stuff it's like you don't want to sit people down there until the construction is finished. So that's by way of like at least putting the skeleton on so that their skeleton or foundation down so that you don't need to do as much work until you are... Once you arrive kind of thing.
Yeah, and heck, they can work with some of the natural materials down there since a lot of the natural stuff that gathers at the bottom of oceans is basically what you need for concrete. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's still like mostly theoretical, just trying to like, can this work? And if it did, what would it look like sort of thing? So there you go. That's robots making our lives just a little bit easier.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Potentially. Until they conquer us all.
Well, we're going to go from robots making our lives a little bit easier to sort of robotizing bicycles to make our lives easier.
Okay.
If you're not familiar with it, there's a program that's been popping up in a lot of different cities, including our fair city, or close by city, I suppose, to where we are at the moment, of San Jose. Called the Bike Share Program. Now, the kind of neat thing about this is that it's populating cities with large numbers of the exact same type of bike. Uh-huh. Now, they may not be the fanciest or nicest looking bikes in the world, mm-hmm. but at least they're a standard.
They're highly functional.
Right. And so somebody kind of jumped onto the standard and realized, well, this is a golden opportunity to make a little engine that you can plug into these things really easily because... Uh-huh. It's a standard. And so they ended up coming up with a little kind of nifty engine that it's about the size of a ream of paper, like 500 sheets of white paper or whatever. It ends up having a pretty neat little folding assembly that's sort of robotic that ends up bridging the gap between the body of the machine and the wheel of the bike.
Mm-hmm.
How it actually attaches on the bike, I can't quite see from the stuff that they have here, but it looks like they figured out a way that it sort of plugs into the normal structure of the bike.
Uh-huh.
But it's hard to explain without seeing it perfectly. So I'd really encourage people to see this little robotic arm reaching in and out, because it's kind of neat. But it is promising right now about 12 miles of charge time at about 18 miles per hour, mm-hmm. which is pretty cool considering it's like a ream of paper.
Yeah.
But right now, it's still in and prepare your shots because I'm going to say the word Kickstarter.
Oh.
It's in the Kickstarter phase, and they're trying to get people together for it. They, like Kickstarter always has, for a decent chunk of money, you can get it on the ground floor and hopefully have one of these for yourself really quickly. Mm-hmm. But they're trying to get together $100,000, which for a Kickstarter isn't actually all that much.
Yeah,
so,
considering it's a product-based Kickstarter too.
Right. So it's definitely something to check out if you're in one of these areas that has the bike share program, because it seems like it'd be really handy to pack into a backpack and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Alrighty, I've got our last story.
Sounds
for,
good.
For the night, as far as news.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If you're a fan of Doctor Who, which Woo. I am, and I think we can say for the rest of us.
Oh, don't even lie.
Yeah. I don't know if you were a fan of Amy Pond character.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a huge fan. The actress, Karen Gillan, not only starring in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm. She'll also be unrecognizable in that role.
Yeah. She got the lead role in an ABC comedy pilot titled Selfie.
Okay. I heard about this.
Karen Gillan is going from her stint fighting the Guardians of the Galaxy to fighting social media. The actress, best known for her time in Doctor Who, is starring in a new ABC comedy pilot, Selfie. Project comes from Emily Kapnick, the creator of Suburgatory. Gillan will play Eliza Dooley, described as a young woman more concerned with likes than being liked. After an ugly breakup, Eliza becomes the subject of a viral video that gains her a ton of social media followers, but not for the reasons she'd like. In the wake of this occurring, Eliza turns to a marketing expert to help rebuild her image. So, she's going to be back on TV.
That ought to be pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it's funny, too, because early on when the name was being cycled around, a lot of people were kind of being pretty harsh about them even coming up with a series like this. But it sounds like it's a pretty decent idea. So
yeah, let's see how it plays out, definitely. Very cool.
I'll be looking forward to at least checking out the pilot as soon as I get over those airs. But all right, I think that's going to do it for the news. We're going to take another music break and then come back with Caleb's Corner.
Mm-hmm.
Want to tease the folks?
It's the tall, quiet group one of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Ooh.
Okay.
So definitely want to stick around for that. Do you want to just in case people are just tuning in now or like, Guardians of the... Wait, what now? Who's
the character? Guardians of the Galaxy, the character is Groot. It's the new movie coming out later this summer from Marvel Studios. I'm giving kind of background about the characters to hopefully pique your interest in what looks like will be a pretty fun flick.
All right. Definitely want to stick around for that. Remember, contact us. Hit us up on Facebook, Robots Attack, or tweet us, Robots Attack Me. All right, let's get to that music here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
And now, it's time for K-Lux Corner.
Welcome back to KSU Santa Clara. This is Robots Attack, and we are in Caleb's Corner, as you just heard by the bumper, and I am talking about the Guardians of the Galaxy, kind of giving you a refresher on some of these characters, because there's a decent chance you may have never heard of them, because until they started announcing the movie, even I hadn't heard of them, except for I do the comics section, so I hadn't heard the name, at least.
Or you just saw the trailer that was
familiar with them. How about that?
Yeah. Or you just saw the trailer that dropped and you're like, whoa, who are these guys? What, I want to know more about them. Kayla's got you covered.
Got you covered. If you want to go back in time on robotsattack.me, you can find out the past characters that I've covered. Tonight, I am talking about Groot.
That's the squirrel, right?
No. No, we're not talking about Rocket Raccoon. That's later. Okay. Groot is one of the actually the simplest characters. His background is pretty straightforward. He's an alien tree. This has not changed in any of the versions of the character that have existed.
Because it's genius.
Yeah, I mean, they have the stories they've told using Groot in the past were different than the ones that they're telling now, but. Other than that, it's still, he's an alien, a sentient alien tree.
Okay.
Effectively. The newest addition to his backstory is that he is part of an alien royalty. And he's also highly intelligent. There's evidenced by him knowing a lot about advanced quantum science.
Oh, okay.
One of the things that is sort of kind of one of his leading elements is his speech pattern, which is something kind of like Hodor from Game of Thrones. One of the phrases he says a lot is, "I am Groot." And that's kind of like his main thing, is he says, "I am Groot."
Okay. who is the voice actor for Groot?
That's where we're going next. It's like, yeah, okay. I hope that Vin Diesel can add a little life to what to that line, because I'm not entirely sure what else the character says on a regular basis, so.
So how does he convey his smarts, then? Does he have to do everything himself in order to?
No, he worked with another scientist, and they were working together, and I'm assuming that they were using a form of computer that they could communicate through if I Am Groot didn't quite cover the depth.
Full gambit of science.
Mm-hmm. According to one of the other characters, Maximus the Mad, who is a brother of Black Bolt, this "I am Groot" phrase is really an artifact of the way his species matures, because they're trees, and so they're, as they grow, as they mature, their bodies become firmer, like a tree does, like all right. aspects, and his larynx is now much more rigid than it was when he was a sapling. Yes. So that's why we can't hear the more subtle variances of what is being conveyed when he says "I am Groot," because that's just how it comes out of his voice chamber.
Is he deathly afraid of fire?
He is actually not deathly afraid of fire. And in one of the current story arcs, he sacrificed himself as source for a fire to take out an alien the Babel Tower in one of the stories.
So he's not fireproof, is what you're saying?
He is not fireproof.
Okay,
he can absorb food and plant matter through his body, which will make him bigger and stronger, or he can also sort of from within himself use energy to do that and sprout, as they call it, where he gains in mass and size.
Speaking of things that you can absorb and sprout with, the 26th Annual Russian Festival. Enjoy live entertainment at the 26th Annual Russian Festival, a celebration of Russian-American food, dance, music, and art. Explore the Museum of Russian Culture, as well as a local art gallery and bazaar of Russian gifts and crafts. The festival will be held on Friday, February 21st, that's tomorrow, through Sunday, February 23rd, at the Russian Center of San Francisco on 2460 Sutter Street in San Francisco. For more information on tickets and festival hours, visit RussianCenterSFAltogether.com. I know that really doesn't have anything to do with Groot, but I had to throw it in.
It's fine.
I tried my best. Absorbing.
Is he made of wormwood?
No, he's not made of wormwood, unfortunately. Fortunately.
Chernobyl reference, then.
No.
That was my last.
Unfortunately. The mentioning him, asking where he if Groot was afraid of fire or fireproof, and the answer to that is both no.
Yes.
But that leads kind of into his kind of kicker power, his ace of the hole, so to speak, and that is that he can grow back.
Is this a spoiler?
From a cutting of himself, even a very small twig, as long as it's alive, he can regrow from it.
Okay.
So when he sacrificed himself, he was still able to return to the team. That wasn't a last hurrah. So that's kind of cool.
Does it take him a while to get back? Does he grow back to like the age he was?
Well, yeah, I guess once you add his other abilities to the mix, he could probably grow back to the age he was pretty fast then, right?
I believe it's a relatively fast transition back to himself, but I'm not positive how long that particular time takes, but he can do it.
So sort of like Star Trek III, Search for Spock?
Exactly like it.
Perhaps. Maybe not quite the Genesis Project I see where you're going with it. Yeah.
There and he grew back to Leonard Nimoy.
I am tempted to go to the premiere of the movie with the t-shirt Got Wood on.
And to round out this little vignette on Groot is that Rocket Raccoon and him have kind of piled up. They've been sort of friendish for a while now. And when he did the big sacrifice of himself to destroy the tower, he made sure that Rocket had his sapling cutting. So
that explains the if you've seen the trailer out there, like Rocket's on top of Groot, like shooting. So
right,
makes sort of sense. Okay.
So yeah. So they're
friends.
They're friends. They apparently from what little I know, they actually have palled around for a while, even before they became part of the Guardians of the Galaxy. So they have a little more history than some of the others.
Trailer kind of hints at that too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. There you go. Oh yeah, and so it's a new trailer. In case you hadn't heard,
watch it.
Premiered on Jimmy Kimmel's show, and it's currently on his YouTube channel. It's fun.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty cool. And excited. And it's like, hey, all right, it sort of fits where Caleb's been talking about the characters. So, you know, maybe
we should have queued up that song though. That's the only thing.
No, I think it's better as a surprise when you get into the trailer.
That's true. Cool. All right. So, how many are left? Two.
Just two.
Two more left. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So
next time the squirrel.
There's no squirrels on this team.
But there's a moose. But maybe the moose will be next week. We'll just have to tune in and see.
Yes. Yes, you will.
All right. We're going to take a music break, and then we'll come back with more Robots Attack. We're going to talk about the Titanfall beta. All three of us have had a chance to play it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you've had a chance to play it as well, because after a while, it became an open beta. So if you had access to an Xbox One or a PC, you had a chance to play it. So let us know what you thought of it, too.
Man, so we tell us how wrong we are. That.
Yeah. Yes. Or right.
Yes. Just give your opinion. Robots Attack, two words. Do a search for that on Facebook and you'll find us. Or go to Robots Attack Me, all one word, on Twitter, and that will be us as well.
Yeah, we're going to talk about...
If you're a PlayStation loyal Don't bother talking to us about it.
Well, you didn't play it, so
yeah.
You're but just listen, gonna maybe, hate on it anyway. So
or maybe you'll be like, you know, that sounds pretty cool. Maybe I'd like to give that a try. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're gonna talk about what we like, maybe what we didn't like, what we think needs to be there at day one, this or that. And so, all right, let's take a music break. And remember, if you want to listen to KSU, even when you're not near a radio, you can stream us whenever you want at ksu.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website, and never be without the underground sound. All right, we'll be right back with more Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook and check out the website at robotsattack.me.
You are now entering the core. Enjoy your stay.
All right, welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Central Talk Show here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound. We are in the core, and we're going to be talking about the Titanfall beta. We had a chance to play it on the Xbox One.
Prepare for Titanfall.
Yes. And yeah, we're going to kind of talk about what we liked, maybe what we didn't like.
What we hated.
What would be cool, maybe, you know, that they should have on day one, or, mm-hmm. you know, the possibilities of the future and all that jazz. So, and what I think will be interesting is we kind of have, like, between us, we have a nice sort of mix of, you know, someone who plays more single player games, Caleb.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Someone mm-hmm. who plays more multiplayer games, yeah. Jason. And then me kind of in the middle. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to hear your
plus
thoughts
slightly
on
different multiplayer ends too. Like you're more of the tactical multiplayer a little bit, and I'm more just kill them.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's start off with our first impressions. Would you like to go first, Caleb?
Or? I will be glad to go first. And my first impression is wow. it's the for those who watch the videos and think, oh, it's another shooter. Yes, that is at its core what it is. But yeah. When you play the game, it does not necessarily it doesn't not play like a shooter. But there is a different level of how you interact with it because they do kind of little fun smart things that make it just a unique in unto the world in which they have created. And one of the things I thought was really cool was the AI players. Like they make like you only have 12 human players in any given map.
Right.
Which to some sounds really small and it's not a large team, but the AIs are actually not terrible. They make decent opponents, and
okay.
If you're not a good shot, like I am, the smart pistol was my saving grace because it actually tracks
yeah.
and targets things. Like finally a weapon I can use.
Yeah, they did a lot of smart things on the game. And me personally, I think the AI players were really smart choice to put in, and mm-hmm. I'm not bothered by their not being like the most deadly things in the world because I got
maybe
killed
you.
By them a fair number of times too, and they have two different levels of enemy players. They have like normal ground troops that are just dudes, and then they have robots that mm-hmm. are a little bit tougher.
Yeah,
and so it generally will take a little bit more care to kill off the robots, especially, or surprisingly enough, even with you riding around in a Titan, it might take one or two shots to take out a robot sometimes instead of, and this is like a human-sized robot, is I should say. And the other thing, too, is the
Spectres,
Titans.
I think they're called?
Yes.
Yeah, they're more like, for lack of a better phrase, like the droids from Star Wars. Like it's a human-sized robot,
right? But the easily the smartest thing that I think they did in the game was making the Titans not like an unlockable thing. Like, if you're familiar with the Call of Duty series, and this is arguably from the creator of the modern
the current
take
age.
On Call of Duty, you don't have to earn the Titan, so to speak. There's a time that they drop. And so it gives everybody the chance to run around in one of the things, which is really, really smart to me, because that's the thing that kind of kills Call of Duty for a lot of people, is that they jump into the game and they're just getting torn to shreds, not only by the players that have been playing like forever, but by all of the crazy stuff that they're calling in to bombard them from crazy angles and all of this other stuff.
Dogs.
Not that that isn't cool. I mean, it gives a lot of levels for enhancing the game, but if you're new coming in, this game makes a lot of smart decisions, like being able to have access to these things.
And the Titan is tied to you, so you don't have to worry about someone else stealing it.
Yes. Right.
They can blow it up and destroy it, but it's tied to your character, so you
don't... Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they do smart things like... well, okay, just a rundown if you aren't familiar. Basically, you're a dude, you're what they call a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
You are kind of the cream of the crop out of all of the fighters on the battlefield. You have a lot more skills, you have better weapons than most people, and you have really unique parkour abilities because you're aided by sort of a jump pack type of thing.
Yeah.
So that you can run up walls and get to high areas and all of this other stuff. And once your timer comes down for the Titan, you can insert the Titan wherever you're aiming at the moment. It will drop onto the battlefield from the sky, which is super
really
cool,
cool.
The first time you see it. When it drops down, it ends up creating a shield around it that you can get through no problem, but it's impenetrable. So it makes it so anybody else trying to harm you as you're mounting into the Titan is going to have a hard time. It's also a really good strategy thing if you need a completely impenetrable wall someplace for a few seconds.
Yeah.
You can drop your Titan in the middle of a battle and allow a bunch of your friends to escape from kind of a crowded area.
Yeah.
All sorts of cool little tactics you can do with it. And yeah, that's basically the bare bones of it. The other really smart thing that they did for the new players was, like you mentioned, the smart pistol. It's kind of the new tube, or noob tube in a weird sort of way. I mean, they specifically put the noob tube into the Call of Duty games so that new players could have an empowering thing that they can get an easy shot on people and kind of build up. So the smart pistol is kind of the same idea, but it's
better balanced than the noob tube, I think.
It's much better balanced because the smart thing with it is it has kind of a timer built into it. Well, okay, the smart pistol, basically you have a big square on your screen that it picks out targets for you once it gets in range, and all you have to do is pull the trigger and it will
send
destroy
the bullets where they go.
those targets. It can kill up to three guys at a time. The thing is, if you're trying to kill an enemy pilot, there's a countdown that you have to survive, like running around while targeting this thing for 3 seconds, I believe, and then it will zoom in and be able to get that killing shot in one trigger pull. But it makes it essentially targets
them multiple times is what it does. So
okay.
Like the AI guys, it
one
just needs
two.
To target, yeah, like one or two pilots. You have to like it
get
has to
four.
Target like three or four.
Yeah, it's four
targeters on it.
That,
yeah. Then you can pull the trigger and it'll take out a pilot. So it sounds at first like this is like way overpowered. It'll just like wipe everybody out. It's not.
If you have and the pilots are so agile that keeping one in the reticle long enough is actually not a small challenge.
Yeah.
It's not like, obscenely difficult, but it's like, yeah, this is not, you're probably going to spend a few times popping your trigger just to make sure you get them, even though it's like a partial lock.
And it's in your primary weapon slot, which,
yes.
So it takes the place of having a rifle or a shotgun or a sniper rifle. Like, so you're also limiting yourself on range. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to get in a little bit closer to, you know, to take out guys. So there's some good balance to it.
I think that was actually one of my favorite features of the playing the demos when I slipped into the Assassin's kit and like was able to play with that. I'm like, okay, now I can kind of like, I was able to like sort of get up to speed with how the game operates. And then I was able to move back into the other sidearms and long arms as I progressed. But that was like a nice, like, give me like, all right, I can roll with this for a little while.
And you have a level of safety against the grunts and the robots running around. It won't do anything to a Titan.
That's the other thing. Every pilot has a primary weapon, a secondary weapon, and then an anti-Titan weapon.
Yeah.
Right. So you always have those no matter what, which is kind of nice.
Yeah. So if you run into a Titan, you're not like, with your pistol.
Right.
Plink, plink, plink.
And they basically have two flavors of anti-Titan weapons at this point. They have your basic lock-on missile launcher, which quickly became my favorite, especially because you are so mobile. It's really nice to be able to figure out nice little strategies for just targeting it from peeking over something and maneuvering in such a way that you can get off your shot at the perfect time. But they also have effectively a machine gun that is an anti-Titan machine gun. It's like micro missiles.
Yeah.
And there's different unlocks too that we're not sure at this point whether they end up becoming complete unlocks in the game or if they're just accessible through something that's also really unique, which is burn cards.
Yeah.
The burn cards are really cool because as you're going through the game, you get access to them. You collect them as like a deck of cards and you go through them and you can fill them into slots that whenever you die and you before you respawn, you can choose one of the cards that you've previously selected, and they can be anything from a special, like, tweaked machine gun or an extra bit of, kit that makes you run faster or see better, all sorts of really neat things in my view.
Yeah, I got one that basically gave me a Titan, like, automatically.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
So I'm assuming that one's probably going to be a pretty rare
burn
card. But yeah, they seem to range all over. And they're tricky, though, because when you pick them, they last until you die.
Right.
I think it was like the round. There was another thing like it lasts over the round or something like that. So I've had a number of times where I'm like, oh, I got this LMG. I'm going to try. I'll try this.
Right.
Spawn in, go around. I got killed. Like, well, I burned that card. Like, I didn't even get to use it. So they're a risk, but
that's the thing, too. It's an extra risk just because your opponents, just like yourself, are so mobile.
Yeah.
Like, you never know when somebody is going to scramble up the backside of a building and kick you literally to death.
Yeah.
From the back. Mm-hmm. So, like, that is exactly what happened to me. I ended up unlocking some crazy sniper rifle, like anti-material rifle, and I was really looking forward to trying it out. I popped off a few shots, and somebody ninja kicked me to bits, like, from behind.
Yeah, so it's this game's definitely verticality is something you want to be aware of and use to your advantage. Yeah, they didn't just put those buildings there to look pretty. Like, they want you to jump and wall run and get up on top. And
And one thing I liked is that the training thing that you kind of go through at the beginning of it all was actually really informative about how you use the abilities. I'm like, it wasn't like, you know, handhold, but it was like, okay, this is what it's like. This is how you do it.
It didn't take forever. It wasn't like frustrating or anything like that. It was a nice playthrough. It seems like I think I've mentioned on the show a few times before, I was a really big fan of Mirror's Edge, and it had a lot of elements that are the same as this game, mm-hmm. but you definitely had to spend the time learning how to do all of the stuff. And this game seems to do a little bit better job of just giving you a really basic toolkit and then giving you, like, making you figure out how to make that work for you to do all the crazy things. Like,
yeah.
One of the moves in Mirror's Edge is effectively like a reverse jump that you're kind of jumping between two walls. If you've ever seen a Jackie Chan movie, he does it in like every single movie where he can scale up a two-story building just by jumping back and forth between the two walls or a corner or whatnot.
Yeah.
You can do the exact same thing in this. It takes a little bit of skill, but it's just a combination of the normal jumping and wall running technique, and you can get up a three-story building pretty easily just by doing that between it and a two-story that's next to it and then jumping at the final moment to get that last story. So if you're good at it, you can scramble up surfaces really cool, and it looks really neat too.
Yeah. Also, if you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks. You can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook.
Yeah, that actually, that segues pretty nicely into something that was kind of exposed in the last couple of days, is a fair number of people got the art book for Titanfall way in advance of the game, and so they were able to see a lot of the inspiration and whatnot. What a lot of people were surprised by is that there's an entire section of creatures that are like massive, giant things, like flying things, like mega elephants, and all sorts of crazy stuff. And so the text in this makes it sound like that's actually going to be part of the multiplayer, in obviously not the maps that we ended up playing, since there are more cityscapes and whatnot.
Right.
But it sounds like it's going to be part of the tactics of the game, is trying to avoid these large creatures, not get them angry, or get them angry at the right times to mess up other people. So that sounds like it has a lot of potential. Hopefully that plays out really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see what the extra bits of the world that they developed, because like it seems a pretty well thought out piece of sci-fi too, you know.
Yeah. They had pretty neat little backstories over the areas that we got to play in the beta.
And it was neat to see, like, if you go by the AI controlled soldiers, like they'll have random conversations with each other, or you'll run into like an enemy AI fighting a friendly AI, and like if you kill the enemy AI, they're like, "Oh, thanks, man! Like, oh, right. I nearly got me.
You
like,
won."
Yeah.
It's so, really cool.
Or and they also will call out if they spot enemy AIs and pilots. It's like, oh, it's kind of useful.
Yeah,
they're not the biggest badasses in the world, but they are very useful. If for nothing else, they're an excellent leveling tool.
Yeah.
For if you do not feel like you can take on a pilot or a Titan when you're first starting, you always have the option of running around and taking out all of these different troops. And there's a fair number of them running around.
And more will appear throughout the...
They airdrop in, and they have drop pods, or like they line down off of different aircraft that swoop in. That's the other thing cool. The other thing that's cool too is it makes it feel like it's a bigger tapestry of a war zone, just because you have all of these giant ships overhead that are from the different factions, and they're sending down all of the different troop carriers and... The troop carriers themselves, while it doesn't necessarily get you like the biggest win in the world, You can prevent them from deploying these squads of grunts and whatnot by taking out the troop carriers as they're flying in or while they're loitering above the field. And I'm sure there's a fair number of points associated with it.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's a cool extra thing that makes you feel like you're part of an authentic war zone, too, without it being a strictly player-controlled war zone. So it if you're really scared off by the entire 6 versus 6 thing, really give it a try before you completely demonize it or whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the AI players really add a lot more dimension to the game than you might expect.
Yeah, if you're just tuning in, we're in the core of Robots Attack. We're talking about the Titanfall beta, our likes and dislikes, and what we hope to see when it drops in March. But here's the thing I have with the AI that sort of concerns me. Like, it's weird. On one hand, it is really nice to have them for, you know, players who don't play very many first-person shooters, or, you know, just you definitely get that nice feeling of like, oh man, I just gunned down like 5 guys, like, you know, super easy, like that kind of empowered feeling. My concern is, that's cool right now, but is that going to be cool like a month or two into the game? Like,
it's hard to tell.
Because honestly, like, for me, those guys are garbage. Like, when it comes to like trying to take me out, like, I got killed once by a Spectre because of my own fault. Like, I was trying to hack it and I was being really stupid and wasn't paying attention. But man, I've walked up to those guys and they've just stood there. And they're like, they'll shoot around me. And I'm like, this is pretty bad. Like, they're just
that's
like,
weird. I got killed by them quite a few times.
Yeah, your experience is very different than mine. Like, they would take me out pretty regularly.
Okay, yeah. Because from other podcasts that I've listened to, they've had my experience where they're just like, they've just shot around you or this or that. Now, on the other hand, it does make when you encounter a pilot, like, sort of a more exciting experience because you're like, whoa, that's another player that's like actually good. Like, they'll, you know, it makes it's a more little more exciting. So that's just kind of where I am. It's like, I get why they threw him in and I do think it is a good idea. I just wonder how long that feeling is going to last a month or two in, where it's just like, oh, these guys again, like, I'm just shooting these just to get like experience points. It's not really fun anymore. Like,
yeah, maybe
that's my main concern.
Yeah, it seems like them having 2 levels of them, I mean, it creates kind of a good opportunity for them to tweak the toughness a little bit. Cause yeah, I without a smart pistol, I definitely had a much harder time taking out the robots. It took a lot more bullet fire and, like, I know I was running around in one of the Titans a couple of times where I had this giant, like, 40-millimeter grenade launcher thing that can wipe out, like, 3 of the normal grunts in one shot. And I nailed... I could have sworn that I nailed one of these robots with it, and it just stood there and looked at me like, yeah, what do you got now? And so I literally stood there for an extra second trying to figure out, wait, did I do something wrong? But it sort of makes sense, too. I mean, like a fragmentation type of grenade or whatnot isn't going to be the most effective thing against something that doesn't have flesh.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things that I like is that that switching from pilot to Titan, like in terms of controls, is so very smooth. It's not like, oh yeah, you got to completely relearn everything. It's like, no,
yeah.
They made
it
more like,
that's a good point. It's essentially like just uses the same controls essentially for shooting. And
the one thing that is a lot different between Titans and pilots is, of course, the pilot side, it's really mobile. You can jump around a lot. Titan has no jumping ability whatsoever.
No, none.
Which takes a little bit of getting used to, especially if you've played a lot of other mech games where it seems like they try and have like jump packs on them and whatnot, give them some version of flight. These things are definitely stuck on the ground once they're there. That's not to say that they aren't nimble. They have kind of a cool little thing where you can press the A button while doing a direction and you have a very sudden like shift sideways or whatnot.
Yeah.
That you can get out of gunfire really quickly. And it seems like they were kind of hinting that the different types of Titans may have more or less of these little counters that you can use.
Yeah, like, the different chassis. Because in the beta, it was just the one chassis.
Right,
yeah.
Just the Atlas chassis. And so I'm really looking forward to trying out the Ogre, I believe, and the, I can't remember what the light one is.
Yeah, but the lighter version of
the alternate bodies. Yeah,
I want to say it's the Strider, but I
think it is.
Okay,
I'm pretty
something
sure
along those lines. But
a nice little cross right there.
One of our listeners will let us know, or is yelling at the radio right now. It's
right,
this one,
shaking
you idiots.
Its fist at us.
But I'm definitely, I was interested before the beta, and I'm even more interested in getting into it. And it's, I hope they, I mean, speaking more on the Xbox side of it, they are going to have a new update for the party system, but, that will definitely needs a good party system there for to get your friends in. It was nice, like, I would occasionally get kicked, but when I tried to join, it would still, like, get me into your guys' game.
Yeah,
or, like, it would try to pull all of us when we were in a party, like, together, in a lobby. So
it
does
it
nice.
Automatically, which is something that I've never seen before in a game. It doesn't make it so you have to concern yourself with the two different levels of whether you're partied in the game and partied elsewhere. It just automatically does it if you're partied by audio connection. So that's pretty slick.
Yeah.
But
yeah, we'll have to see. I know this 6-on-6 was an issue for a lot of people. The beta, again, they only gave us two maps. It seemed pretty solid, that amount of people playing, but it'll be curious to see with, I think there was talk that like it's comes with 15 maps or something. So to see how they blend it in. Cause again, like, more isn't always better. Like Battlefield 4, honestly, there's a lot of times where you're just running to find people. So
desperately searching for a vehicle.
And, you know, sometimes in Call of Duty, sometimes you wish there were maybe a couple more people, or sometimes, you know, maybe
it's a little bit more space so I can get around the corner without dying.
But they definitely seem to be trying to get everyone in, new people and veterans.
I felt like overall it was pretty well balanced for the maps that we played and for a beta. It's like it's pretty polished for a beta.
The maps seem to be, as far as size, if you're trying to get an idea of how big they actually are, they're some midpoint between the larger Battlefield maps and the larger Call of Duty maps. It adds a lot of size just by the verticality of it and by having so many of the buildings actually open where you can run around on the inside of them.
And then making sure you have enough space to give the Titans room to run around and fight in is, going to make them a little bit larger as well.
It's actually kind of spectacular realizing how much they were able to cram into the space, considering, like, especially if you compare it to Call of Duty, it has a reasonably close graphical quality to the Call of Duty Ghost game, but it's much larger. So it's an interesting, be interesting to know what sort of trade-offs they made in order to bring that all together, because it came together pretty nicely.
Yeah, I think we can all say we had a good time playing it. And so if you had a chance to play it out there, definitely let us know what you thought.
You can find us on Facebook. Do a search for Robots Attack, two words. Or you can hit us up on Twitter. Our handle is Robots Attack Me, all one word. You can always contact us via the old email, which is
robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And finally, the one place to rule them all, the one place to find them, including notes about the Strider mechs, because that's their name, Strider, is robotsattack.me. There's archived episodes, plus the Interact, plus there's an email form there if you want to email us through there or whatever. It's good stuff.
All right. You're listening to KCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. We're Robots Attack. We're out of here. Coming up next, the Pre-Funk Show.
Pre-funk.
Stick around for some good music. We'll be back next week, 7 to 9. Have a great weekend, everybody. We're out of here.
Raccoon. Veronica. Nicto.